This episode is sponsored by Hulu. The reality queen herself, Lisa Vanderpump, has a new home on Hulu and has teamed up with them to bring you the newest, most exciting reality series yet, Vanderpump Villa. In an escape to the French countryside, Lisa and her staff work, live, and play together 24/7 while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. The series offers first-class luxury with world-class drama. Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey, the podcast where we cover all the pop culture we love to hate, from the classic reality TV moments of the past and present to the latest Daily Mail headlines and everything in between. We'll dive into all the infamous and notorious messes you can't stop watching. I'm looking at you, Jax Taylor. I'm your host, Ryan Bailey. Welcome to a special episode of So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey. You guys, there was already a great episode out today I put out by with Steven, Faces by Bravo. But I wanted this episode just to focus on something that I've kind of been fascinated with. And I think you guys have all been fascinated with as well. And it's really been all over the news in terms of pop culture news, especially. I mean, she's been all over the news since she hit the scene, you know, over 20 years ago. But you know, of course, I'm talking about Britney Spears, and I am so fascinated with the conservatorship and that documentary that came out that's on Hulu right now, Framing Britney Spears, because what I keep thinking about, you know, as I go to sleep tonight, these are the things I think about, is that imagine being that successful and that famous and not having control of any of it at a certain point. It is to be the pinnacle of what every person that has stars in their eyes, where they want to get to, and then having no freedom with any of it. And if you want to feel good about your life, just look at Britney Spears' life. You're like, oh my God, I would hate to be in that position right now. And I kept thinking, that is so wild. Like, I remember being a kid and thinking about Britney Spears and like, whoa, you know, or NSYNC. And like, that's the pinnacle of celebrity and fame and everything that you always want as a kid. And then we're seeing some of the realities of these situations, and they're just frightening. But today I wanted somebody on that I could kind of go over the legalities of the conservatorship. I think it is just endlessly fascinating. The law is endlessly fascinating. I really haven't paid as close of attention to it. You know, why would I? I'm not a lawyer, but it is fascinating. I have a really good friend that's a lawyer. My guest today is a lawyer. And when you talk with them, it's a fascinating look into how things get done in this country and others is just the law and things that we have to abide by in this country. And in this case, it's affecting somebody's free will. So I found it fascinating. But today our guest is Sharon Gatan, Ghatan, and she is the founding attorney and CEO of California Legal Counsel, APLC, a top-ranked Southern California boutique law firm that has been successfully handling both criminal defense and personal injury matters for the past 20 years. I'm going to put this in her bio. I'm going to put it in the podcast description, because she's just had a great career, and she is turned out a lovely, funny, smart as hell, amazing woman. I think you guys are going to love her, but I just kind of get to nerd out and ask all the questions I wanted to ask. And I hope there's going to be some stuff in there that you guys probably had wanted to ask as well. But also, I did this interview last week, so a couple things happened since we did this interview. But also, I was reading this New York Times article that was in New York Times last week, and I thought there was some fascinating little tidbits in here as well. I just wanted to remind you, we talked for a second about Britney Spears posting on Instagram, but she did on Instagram and Twitter, she posted last Tuesday saying, like, "I'll always love being on stage, but I am taking this time to learn and be a normal person, .. I love simply enjoying the basics of everyday life. Remember, no matter what we think and what we think we know about a person's life, it is nothing compared to the actual person living behind the lens." So these are very simple statements, very powerful statements. I also wanted to point out that with the conservatorship, I found this tidbit. The setup that they have going, it means that the Spears conservators are required to submit detailed accounts of her purchases to the court. And that's so, guys, that's even minor purchases. So like $5, New York Times uses as an example, $5 purchase at Sonic, Drive-In, or a Target. Those all have to be submitted. So, you know, just think about it like this. If you are married and you, you know, I don't know, if you're a guy, you bought a bunch of baseball cards. That's the dumbest example I could possibly get. And you didn't tell your wife. And then she gets a detailed summary of what you bought. And in no way did I ever do this. But you might be in trouble, you know. But that's because, you know, it's your husband and wife. This is a courtroom. This is a conservatorship that deems what she spends with her own money, if that is appropriate or not. So I thought that is just so bizarre for that to happen. Also, so the big update, though, happened this past last Thursday. They went back to court. So this just happened last Thursday where the judge rejected Jamie Spears, that's Britney Spears' dad, his previous level of control over the estate. Now, if you remember, November 10th of 2020, Judge Brenda Penny appointed the financial company Bessemer Trust as co-conservator alongside Jamie Spears. Now, in this interview, we talk about that, that Britney considered that a win, that she got a bank involved and not just her dad. So the judge appointed the Bessemer Trust alongside Jamie Spears. Penny declined to remove Jamie at that point entirely as requested by Britney's defense. But yeah, so the judge rejected again this past week Jamie Spears to have full control. Under the new ruling, he is expected to work with the financial company to create a budget and investment proposal. The aim is to give Bessemer and Jamie Spears an equal division of responsibility, says Britney Spears attorney Samuel Ingham. This is reported by Variety, in the hopes that they would sit down and figure out together the best way to handle this complex estate for the benefit of my client. It is no secret that my client does not want her father as co-conservator, but we recognize that removal is a separate issue, adds Ingham, who has suggested that he may revisit the issue of Jamie Spears' removal at a later date. Further hearings are set to be held March 17th and April 27th. So those are dates to really keep an eye out on. Of course, we also have gotten a lot of people coming out of the woodwork, you know, people from Britney's past. I mean, we have Perez Hilton, who now admits he, quote, regrets what he has said in the past about Britney Spears after being slammed for bullying the star by labeling her as an unfit mother and asking why she didn't die instead of Heath Ledger. So, you know, Perez Hilton, if you guys, you might be too young, remember Perez Hilton at the height of his, if we want to call that power, I guess that's 15 plus years ago. He was brutal, you know, and we all loved it. I mean, I talk about that all the time. I thought it was funny as hell, but he did. He did one post where he was trying to make a joke and asked why Britney Spears is alive and Heath Ledger died, you know. But now he is apologizing for his ways. Perez should just be on a nonstop apology tour at all times. He seems like he apologizes every week for somebody new. And I would love to talk to him in an honest interview at some point just to see what that's like. Like, I mean, like, how do you come back from that? How do you not live with yourself? But like, I've said things that I completely regret, and I can't imagine having that much success in a short amount of time for saying so many bad things about somebody and having to live with that. Britney Spears' former assistant claims the singer's father, Jamie, 100% threatened her life if she didn't cut ties with the pop stars. Now, I don't know if you guys remember when Britney Spears, her cousin, Allie Sims, was always hanging out with her back in the day. Allie Sims, who worked as Britney's paid assistant in 2007, said, yeah, Jamie told her to cut ties with the pop star or else something bad would happen. He 100% was threatening me with my life, Sims has claimed. Sims said she didn't put it past him, so she didn't answer any of Britney's calls for more than a decade after the alleged conversation. So that's wild right there, if he was making threats. Good news, Britney Spears' boyfriend Sam Asghari, I don't know if I'm saying that right, takes his quote-unquote lioness for a beautiful hike in L.A. as he pins her a sweet Valentine's Day tribute after the explosive documentary. This is all Daily Mail, of course. He wrote, after chocolate, I'm her favorite. Happy chocolate day, lioness. Hashtag my Valentine. I wouldn't really consider that a poem. What? Daily Mail is on crack. Are you kidding me? That's not a poem. Give me it. Okay. Let's see. Anything else here that I think worth mentioning? I mean, people are going to come out. It'll be interesting to hear stories. I do see kind of a bad trend already is a lot of people are selling like new Britney t-shirts and stuff like that, that have no affiliation probably with her, you know, trademark or licensing. That kind of worries me. I'm like, don't make money off, you know, what is turning out to be a very sad case that we are learning more and more about each day. I think this is endlessly fascinating. And as I talk about in the interview, because it really does hit so many different layers of pop culture and even social media at this time. So without further ado, to talk about Britney Spears' conservatorship for a full hour, I hope you guys enjoy this. It's a little different because this is just one topic, but I think you're going to dig it. Sharon Gatan from California Legal Counsel. Ladies and gentlemen, my next guest I am very excited to talk about because there are certain pop culture stories that kind of seep into the public consciousness, and we have one this past week. It's been going on for so many years now, but it is kind of at the forefront because there was a documentary that came out on FX called Framing Britney Spears, produced by the New York Times. I had so many questions about how a conservatorship works. Our good friend Kate Casey, an amazing podcaster, you guys know Kate, put me in touch with our next guest, and she works for the California Legal Counsel, I think for 20 years. We're going to talk to her all about it, but she's an actual smart person. So we'll have one smart person in this conversation and then we're going to have me. But like I said, this podcast is me trying to figure out things. So without further ado, let me welcome Sharon Gatan. Sharon, hi, how are you?
So well, thank you so much for having me, Ryan. It's a pleasure.
Oh my gosh. Of course. Now, California Legal Counsel, what is that? Is that a company that you, what is that exactly?
So California Legal Counsel is my law firm that I founded 20 years ago.
Jeez.
20 years. We handle criminal defense and personal injury, and we have a lot of high profile cases as well. And I think I bring a unique aspect because I'm not just an attorney, but I'm also a mother. So there's a maternal, really caring, you know, aspect to it. But at the same time, I'm also a shark that people don't expect.
So well, also you have good taste because your son's name is Ryan too, I heard. So that's
there you go. Indeed. I have a Ryan myself.
20 years ago, what made you want to get into law in the first place?
Honestly, it sounds like a cliche, but it's the injustices that I saw in the world that was like the very naive and innocent Sharon. But the truth is, I'm naturally a fighter. I love to fight for people. I'm very aggressive. I'm very passionate. I'm very caring. And I felt this is a great opportunity to use all those skills to benefit other people who, frankly, may not have those strengths. So that's what I've been doing.
Has your opinion on the law changed over the years?
Sadly, it has, not to sound pessimistic because I'm by nature very optimistic and positive, but definitely it has. The perfect example right here is Britney Spears. I mean, someone who we all grew up with, you know, she's our generation, Madonna, if you will.
Yeah, definitely.
She's young, she's cool. She had sold out shows all over the world. She had her whole residency, if you recall, in Las Vegas.
Yeah, yeah.
God knows how many millions she made there. But here now we suddenly find out with this hashtag Free Britney, it's not really her making the money. Where's the money going? What's she doing? Why is she in a relationship, a loving relationship, apparently, with someone for 4 years, but they're not married? She can't get married, Ryan.
See, that's what's even, so you obviously watched this documentary and we learned, you know, to have, you think about like something, you know, we all think of like celebrity as like the end all be all, like, oh, we all want to be famous. We all want that kind of adulation, the money, the riches. And then this, you know, we find out this story where she has no control of anything, nothing.
Honestly, I wouldn't be her for all the money in the world. Let me tell you why. She can't make decisions to get married, as I mentioned. She can't go buy a Ferrari. Why shouldn't she? She works hard. She can't go choose to move from one home to another. She can't go, I don't know, get a therapist appointment without somebody reading her records. What kind of way is that to live? Seriously. I mean,
yeah, like I was able to sleep till 9:30 this morning because I did not have to ask a conservatorship if I could say so, you know, and that is the freedom that I have. And you get the sense from this documentary and you see it with her social media posting and stuff is that it seems like she is very trapped in a very small bubble and is not able to. And she, what I find interesting, and I know we're kind of jumping ahead here too, is that she's refusing to work, supposedly. Like, I will not work until I'm done with this conservatorship.
Do you blame her?
Not at all. I think it's the only thing that she has at her disposal. It's the only move she has.
That is her ace card. Her ace card is her voice, her talent, her dancing, her performance, her ability to sell out stadiums, concerts, whatever it is. If she doesn't use that, what else should she use? She is in an almost, dare I call it, a legal hostage situation. Okay. It is a legal hostage situation where she really doesn't have, as you said, the basic civil liberties that all of us, that you and I, take totally for granted. Yeah. And that Instagram of hers does not help the case any because she's always in the same place. Seems like she's wearing the same things, doing the same weird dance.
Yes, she's in the same foyer doing like and her mascara looks dark and she's, you know, and
well, is she like restricted to the foyer? Is she on house arrest?
Well, you can only dance in the foyer. You can only, I mean, the only thing was interesting too, is that in the documentary, I thought, you know, they didn't point this out, but you notice it is that there is a certain light in Britney's eyes through, you know, the first 10, 15 years of her career. And you see that light go out at a certain point. And it's a deadened look. And I'm just so like, let's break this down. Like, obviously there was like, Britney was huge. She was on top of the world. She was reaching heights that no kind of teen star had reached in so long, selling, like
especially
you said,
female, by the way.
Exactly.
And remember, we learned that not just as a female, cause it's a bigger deal. It's a harder sell in an era of boy bands.
I know that's, I mean, well, and I was wondering this from even a law perspective as a female is that they made that point of she was getting asked questions about her boobs. She was having to deal with like the sexualization of a young female and just being disrespected. Yeah. But like the male, like Justin Timberlake and the NSYNC kids didn't have to ask questions about their private parts. I have a lot of female friends. They say that's like typical across the board. Is law the same? Did you get treated any differently being a female in law?
Let me just speak to her and then I'm happy to speak to myself. I found the Diane Sawyer. And by the way, Diane Sawyer, Barbara Walters, my idol, I used to be a journalist as well. Diane Sawyer, legendary. But wow, I challenge you to think of Diane Sawyer asking today's JoJo Siwa about her sexuality, about who she's sleeping with, who she's not, and whose heart she's broken in the manner that Diane Sawyer, who's herself a woman, asked Britney Spears. She brought her literally to tears.
And stayed kind of stone-faced. I went back and watched that interview afterwards, and it was very, I remember seeing that interview.
Shocking.
It is funny though, how time puts perspective on things, is that I watch it now and I'm like, that's horrifying. I remember watching it back then and going, okay, well, you know, we all wanted to know the answer. You know, it's funny how time does change. I was one of the people making fun of her when she shaved her head and things like that. And now I'm like, wow, we really put Britney through so much.
Listen, there was such a deeper story behind her that nobody knew. And she was treated in such a misogynistic fashion that we now see so clearly, like the 2021, you know, women's movement, all that would never have tolerated this.
Yeah.
Now, to answer your other question, where have I faced that? Definitely. Now, in the law, especially, remember, both criminal defense and personal injury, these are highly male-dominated fields, Okay. So there is many an occasion that even to this day, when I'll go into court, they will ask if I'm the interpreter. They'll ask if I'm dropping off paperwork. They will ask if I'm anything but the attorney. So that has definitely happened. I don't know if it's intentional or unintentional. I just think it's just the way
it's like an are. Internal bias that, like, you know, we,
I've gotten used to it. I move beyond it and I move forward. And frankly, I use it to my benefit because frankly, underestimate women every single
time. That's good.
Every single time.
Okay. So I understand at a certain point, there was a breaking point. I do believe that there was a mental breaking point with Brittany. I believe she was really under duress. And I believe, like a lot of us do, had some mental health issues. And, you know, I don't have a stigma behind mental health. You know, I go to therapy, I take SSRIs. I very much support that. But when you're under that kind of microscope, we kind of like, it shows how I think we fed that beast and kept it going. But that led, I believe, if I'm not wrong, that triggered the conservatorship.
I believe, and remember, no one knows anything except the pertinent actors that played a part, meaning the lawyers on the father, Jamie Spears' side, and this gentleman, Andrew Wallet, and whoever was with Britney's team at that time. These are the only people that know. Okay. But I certainly do know that it was that whole shaving of the head and the behavior and the, you know, acting out. And mind you, acting out how we now see from the documentary, they were literally killing her, suffocating this woman to the point where she couldn't take it with the, did you see the incident with the golf club? I mean, you know, you've hit rock bottom when you're now resorting to violence as a young, sexy little thing. You lost it. Now, I think the father took advantage of that time. Again, through my research and through understanding of the documentary, the father wasn't this big player in her life. It seems
up until that point, she had stayed out of a lot of that. It was her mom and then Felicia, her assistant that we got to hear from, which was a great.
She seemed so lovely, right? Like she actually cared about her. And look at her. What does Felicia get out of this to have all her awards and this, that, and all these fond memories? That's someone you want to be a conservator. That's someone who has some love and empathy in their heart. Not, no offense, just because it's her father doesn't per se make him the best candidate when we know he had financial problems. We know he had issues of his own. Who is he to be running it besides being her biological father? As I last checked, her final remarks publicly are that she's requesting a unbiased, qualified corporate fiduciary, which doesn't seem like anything wrong at all there, like a bank. Why shouldn't a bank be financing everything or managing the finances? Why not? I mean, what that is Jamie Spears? Is he some entrepreneur of a CEO, you know, of some Fortune 500 company? Does he have those qualifications to run a $60 million
I believe that's lowballing the $60 million. I was shocked that they valued the estate at $60 million when I'm like, wait a sec. I know her Vegas residencies alone were bringing in much more than that on a yearly basis, plus all of the overseas deals. They had her release 30
merchandise.
She was like, I was like, how is that only valued? And then in the court papers, Jamie was patting himself on the back saying they, you know, because of the conservatorship, this is a thriving business now. And I'm like, that is so dark to have a family member, first off, just call you a business, even if it's true, but just very dark. But I also was just like, I thought her estate would be worth a couple $100 million in the sense of how we talk about her. You know, another one is that is very interesting is how Prince's family has handled his death. And, they're not, I don't think, doing everything great because his estate was valued at something like 25 or 30 million recently. And IRS is saying you grossly undervalued it and you need to pay taxes on double that, you know?
So we went to, I took a family trip to Seattle and Canada just last year before COVID. There is a museum, okay, that is dedicated to Prince, and it's not even in his home city, it's Seattle. That right there with the motorcycle, the clothes, and the memorabilia, I don't know what they're talking about, $25 million.
No, I mean, the guy has hit after hit. But then on the other hand, you see who the people that are in charge of Michael Jackson's estate, and they managed to, you know, what was on the brinks of, he was on the brink of financial collapse when he died, and that they were able to completely, now it's worth hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars, which I just find fascinating of like, these people were able to make it work. Prince and Britney, and I know Britney actually has a long career ahead of her still, but she Prince, does. You know,
I believe Prince didn't have a will. So I believe that made a huge difference.
Correct. Yeah.
I believe Michael Jackson actually had a financial team and everything was written out, knowing Michael Jackson being so particular, you'd imagine that's true. And poor Britney, she doesn't even have, forget a will. She doesn't even have a say. I mean, I can actually say she doesn't have a voice. She has a singing voice, but she doesn't have a speaking voice. She doesn't have it.
Yeah. And that's the most powerful thing here. It really, so I was under the impression that, and I'm not obviously a lawyer or anything close, but I was under the impression that a conservatorship is for like maybe elderly people, people that couldn't, no longer
they
could
have
do
dementia.
Things.
They're older.
That was my impression. Am I wrong?
No, you're right. And again, I'm not here to question any judge, but judges are supposed to look at all the other alternatives before going to the conservatorship, especially in light of somebody being this young. It seems like it should have been a last resort, but I generally don't think it was taken as a last resort and it was a first resort. And now apparently getting into a conservatorship is far easier than getting out of one.
That's so crazy. Is it because there's big business and conservatorships now? Like what would actually swing that way?
It's just the law. Once you get in, there has to be a judge and a court order that says you will be allowed to come out. And here's the weird hypocrisy. If you're being told you lack the capability and capacity to manage yourself, then how is any court or judge going to say now she or he knows that they're able to manage?
Yes.
Themselves?
I mean, like, it feels like a...
How do you get out?
So that's what I'm saying. So the original conservatorship, I believe, was triggered because of some of these mental episodes. So, you know, I remember being alive back at that time and remember seeing this, and I remember having certain experience, like where I was like, okay, well, maybe she really does need that. Maybe she does need somebody in place. And then we see even in the documentary, and we saw that is that Britney did start coming back to normal, is that she was making music again. She signed the Planet Hollywood Vegas deal. She was filming commercials, music videos. She was making fun of her dad being a conservator of it. And
she seemed to be taking it better than, frankly, I think anyone else would.
Yeah. So first off, my question is, like, I can't believe that a conservatorship keeps going when you see somebody thriving mentally and physically. That would, to me, be like, well, we got her on her feet. She's good to go. We'll give it back. Why? I mean, I know that we can only suppose or where does your mind go? Or even from a legal standpoint, why keep it going?
Honestly, from a legal and even human standpoint, I think there's a time for everything. Even contracts expire. Okay. Gigs expire. If you hire me for a case after your case is done, it expires. I'm not your attorney for life. How is there such a thing for someone this age that if she has proven, let's even agree to the $60 million, which you and I both think is an underestimation. If she can make that much money, if she can perform at such a high level, I don't understand why there wouldn't be a reevaluation. Now, in family law court, there would be. Let's say someone's a millionaire when they get a divorce and they have to pay X alimony and child support. They lose all their money. They go back to court. The court reevaluates their financial position and changes that number. Why isn't it the same here? You show what's called a change in circumstance. There's a legal term of art, change in circumstance. You show she's not shaving her hair anymore. I don't know. She's not acting crazy. She's not beating people up with golf clubs. Isn't she in her late? Is she in her 30s now?
I think she's like mid 30s, I believe.
She has two teenage children. She has been with this boyfriend for, I think, like 4 years. She's continuing to do well. We haven't heard her do anything criminal. I mean, for the love of God, I really feel she is being given the shorter end of the stick of, frankly, any other celebrity we've seen. There are plenty of people we've seen had nervous breakdowns. How many of those people have you heard of being put into a conservatorship with, mind you, Papa Dearest here and a lawyer, and have that go on for this long? And mind you, I find it highly suspect that this lawyer, who's essentially just kind of, you know, lucky enough to be in this situation, suddenly earlier this year withdraws. Who? Why? Why would he do that? I personally think there's something more to it. And this lawyer is trying to extricate himself out. Again, just guesses.
when the conservatorship first started, they make a point in the documentary, they actually, we get to hear from the original lawyer that Brittany hired, that they go, this is fascinating, you guys, they go, and by the way, just so you know, it is on Hulu now. A lot of people have asked where they can see it. It lives on Hulu now. But this lawyer went in, Brittany had hired, and the judge, I believe, removes him from the case and then appoints a new lawyer to Brittany. How in the possible hell would that ever happen? Explain that to me.
Court. So in our world, I mean, let's talk about the criminal world. You would get a court appointed lawyer if you were some sort of, you know, person that was more in a certain.
The Night Stalker got a court. The Night Stalker got a court appointed lawyer.
That's what I'm talking about. Brittany yeah. Spears, who makes millions upon millions of dollars, should have the ability to have
choose her own lawyer.
Have private counsel. Absolutely. Even now I understand this person, Sam Ingram. I think he's also court appointed. I mean, with all due respect, he might be a fabulous lawyer, but why can't she choose her own lawyer? She has the means. She has the money. She must have, like all these celebrities. Let's even talk about athletes that you hear them burning through millions and millions of dollars. They have financial teams, they have lawyers, they have managers, they have agents, they have accountants. I don't understand, no matter how colorful her life may have been, how many unusual decisions she may have made. So what? Let the professional people who are financial people, you know, the lawyers, let them handle it. What is this? Honestly, well, this is why ACLU is involved, Ryan. I don't know if you know this.
No.
The ACLU that usually is, you know, dealing with like, you know, I don't know, Black Lives Matter and like, you know, really serious, heavy issues, the ACLU has gotten involved. Do you know why? Because they're saying her civil liberties are literally being encroached upon.
But they
are. Leave her alone. Let's say she's not Britney Spears. She's Britney Smith. How is this okay that it's happening? So that goes to show you how much credibility has been given to your thoughts and my thoughts that this has gone on too long and this is just crazy.
Two questions. I had spoke with my lawyer friend who said, you know, that first lawyer that he was actually speaking about the case.
Yes.
Did that go against lawyer ethics? And like, you know, I know he wasn't officially then he got let go of the case, but I thought there was an attorney client thing or something where you're not allowed to speak of since he was privy to what were in those initial court documents.
There is. You're absolutely right. I think he was really doing, first of all, you understand he's not her current attorney anymore.
Correct. Yeah. He got let go of the first place.
So he has a little bit more leeway. Now, with that said, he should be very careful in what he says. I do feel, having watched the documentary, that he was pretty careful of what he said. I don't think he crossed any lines. I thought the other lady attorney, the female that represented Jamie Spears, she was even more careful than he was.
Well, no, what was crazy was that that lady, I believe, in the documentary at that point wasn't repping Britney Spears, but then they had an addendum that now she is repping Britney Spears after the comments she made on this documentary, which is just so eerie.
I sure noticed that. Yes, I
did. In so many ways. But they also made like, there was like one sentence, I think, in the narration or something, they were saying like, we still to this day don't know what were in those initial court documents that triggered this. And that's my thing is like, how horrible could it have been? And could it have been something so horrible that that's why the conservatorship still is in effect today?
Listen, short of her killing one of her kids, which we know they're both alive, what could have happened? There's no criminal case. We know that. She doesn't have any criminal case or else that would have been brought to light. As you're saying, how bad could it have been? And even Brittany has gone on record saying all the secrecy and the sealing and these motions being so secretive, she doesn't even want it. So if she did whatever she did, she's okay with it being public knowledge. I'm sorry, is her dad more concerned about how she's viewed than she's viewing? She's seeing herself viewed that way? It doesn't make sense.
Now, I know, I mean, you obviously are, you know, in the law for 20 years. You seem like you take it in, you know, very, very seriously as every lawyer should. But, you know, we do get leaks from time to time in every, I think every job, especially in entertainment industries. You know, why don't we have any leaks with this paperwork? Why don't we, I mean, why is there not, I mean, I just feel like it happens everywhere else. Why are we not hearing anything with this? Is that just because lawyers are just so?
I think I can tell you, where would the leak come from? Her own lawyer, the silver-haired guy, I don't remember the names. He isn't telling us anything. How much he knows, how much he doesn't know, he's not telling us anything wisely. The judge certainly isn't going to tell anyone. The Spears camp lawyers certainly aren't going to tell anyone. Andrew Wallet, who just stepped down, I'm 100% sure is going to keep his mouth quiet. Who could talk? There's no clerk. There's no bailiff. There's no court reporter. Nobody's going to dare do it. When you hear about leaks, it's when there's something of a public record. Anybody can go to the courthouse, request a record of a transcript, mm-hmm. and that's how it gets released. Or you have an inside person where a hearing is public. I've had high profile cases where news media will come and literally sit in the audience and be typing or taking notes. I go outside, TMZ already knows what just happened inside. Okay. None of that was possible. There was no TMZ. There was nobody on the inside and all of the players of the courtroom. There's no way, no how that anyone's leaking it. So where would the leak come from?
Yeah. Nowhere. How far can the?
I will add to that. I believe there was a paralegal that did come forward under great, you know, cover and costume, yeah. whatever you want to call it. There was one paralegal that stated, I think some strange things were going on.
I did see that on a gossip blog, you know.
There's your potential leak, but again, how much does the paralegal know?
Well, and also I could actually put something that said, hey, I'm a paralegal in the Britney Spears case. I don't want it. You know, like, I mean, we all sure. have to trust that all of this is like on the up and up. And I know sometimes that is not the case with pop culture and, you know, celebrity gossip. I mean, my thing is like, how far can a conservatorship go? Like, how tight can they have the reins on Britney? Can they make her take medicine? Can they limit her access to her cell phone in terms of posting Instagram? How far can a conservatorship go legally?
Again, remembering this is not my specialty area. So based on my-
I want you to make up things for me.
I'm not gonna make up things. I will give you based on my legal research. She is really confined. Now we joke that she needs to do her dance number only in that foyer. No, I don't think it's as silly as that. But they literally have the legal right to make decisions. What does that mean? They can check all her medical records, I told you. They can manage all her financial decisions. They can order her for the tour. You saw that domination tour. You saw her get up. And then
walked past, like, we guys, it was crazy. There was a scene in there. She was announcing a new Vegas residency. They had this huge event outside. She was going to perform and thing, and she pops up and then she smiles, walks down the stairs, and then just keeps on walking past everything. Does not say hi, does not do a song, nothing. And it's almost just like, okay, you want me to do this? Here I am. And then I'm just walking out.
That's a boss move, because the truth is, as we spoke earlier, her one ace card is her talent and her singing. You can't force the woman to get on a stage and sing, can you? Right? You can't hold a gun up to her head.
It's the only thing she has. It's the only.
That's what she's holding back. But they are allowed to book her now, whether she performs or not. They are allowed to, as I said, not have her get. She can't get married. I mean, anything you can think about. I mean, it's insane. Anything you think about, they can control legal decisions. If she wants to get a loan, if she wants to go get a license, I would even imagine. Let's say she wants to get a real ID. Okay, she lives in California. She's going to have to ask somebody to allow her to go to the DMV to get the real ID. It's crazy.
Now, can they control? Like, I mean, we know she has a boyfriend, Sam. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. Yeah, and you know. Can they control how often she sees him? I mean, I know you don't, but like, he seems like he's able to see, him on TMZ this week saying, hey, her dad's a dick. And when he wants to stop being a dick, we'll have actually hopefully a good relationship down the line until he knows how to treat his daughter, you know?
Definitely. And it's a lot to consider that this guy's been quiet for 4 years. You know what I'm saying? For 4 years, he's been quiet. And now he calls her dad that word. Obviously that's a choice word because they're prevented. I am pretty sure he wants to marry her. I'm pretty sure she, he at least, I don't know about her, but I'm guessing he doesn't have children of his own. He would want to have children with her. My God, what are they going to do if she gets pregnant? What will they do? Will they be allowed to force an abortion on her?
That's what I'm just like, how
thought about that?
I mean, how far does this go?
Birth control. Can she not take it?
my also thing was, does Sam get a, because, you know, now you're talking about an estate, does Sam get a monthly stipend from the estate to be Brittany? Not to, I'm not saying that Sam does not, Sam, I think, loves her very much, but I'm saying, do you then get paid by the estate? Does he get a monthly stipend because he's there to be with Brittany? Like, I, those are questions that I just, you know, when you have these kind of weird things, you start thinking even weirder things because no information really is coming forward. How were they even able to make this documentary without the estate suing the pants off the New York Times?
But remember the Michael Jackson documentaries too. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
People can do whatever they want to do. It's easier. What do they say? It's easier to say I'm sorry than to ask for permission. Okay. These folks did what they did. I don't know what the legalities of it were. They might get sued, but who cares? You and I are sitting here talking about it. America's talking about it. That's what they care about.
Well, I mean, even in terms of like, I mean, or in podcasting, are we allowed to have a this honest conversation and me release it? Am I, can I be in legal trouble?
You're
for
not
us
in
having
a conservatorship.
Not yet. No, but I'm saying, even in talking about Brittany, even like there's so many conversations going right now. So many, you know,
there's no gag order for you and I. They can't stop us from talking. We have civil liberties. We have rights.
See, now it's like I'm so paranoid now because of this Britney Spears. I'm like, where are we? Are we safe?
I honestly, she is a very unique case to us because it's so high profile and because we see her as someone that seems very capable. Like when we think of disabled, and by the way, when the court granted this conservatorship, they deemed her disabled. Now, in our mind, maybe we think of a visual disability. She clearly isn't visually disabled, but the court had some documentation, some evidence presented to them that deemed her disabled and needing of this conservatorship.
Well, they had put her on a 5150 hold at one point when that she had one of the medical. So I'm sure that triggered things as well.
But how many people, again, I shouldn't say, you know, in my criminal practice, how many people do I have that have that 5150 hold and we move forward? If you were to think everybody that gets a 5150 hold, their next step is going to conservatorship court. Well, come on now. That would be crazy. They'd be inundated with cases. That's not how it works.
Yeah.
So there was an aggressive move by the father's camp to start this ball rolling. And we can only assume skeptically it has to be a financial reason.
The only thing that you could get out of this is a financial reason because it's like, and also like, imagine I was thinking about what it's like to be your dad to not realize, or maybe to start realizing how many fans Brittany has and how much hatred is coming your way. I don't know. And maybe he's just ignorant to that fact. I just have to imagine it's going to be harder and harder for him to actually have any sort of normal life or even kind of travel. Like, I mean, at some point I imagine this guy gets shouted down a lot, you know,
death threats. I mean, think about these fans.
Britney. The reason why we're here kind of is a Free Britney movement that got started by the fans, which they acknowledge in court papers that she is aware of, right?
She is aware. She acknowledged them. She thanked them and almost gave them kind of encouragement to continue. I saw these folks. I happened to be in Stanley Moss Court on a completely separate matter. I saw them. I would say there was at least 100, all of them with pink signs. Free Britney. They're big. It's a real thing. These are not paid people. These are her diehard fans.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if he cares. I don't know if he's enjoying the money. I will tell you something since I wanted to be very up to date for you. I do know that he is no longer her conservator over her person. Okay. But he is still managing the estate, which again, cha-ching.
So who manages her person? The bank that she got thrown onto it? Who manages her person now? Or does she manage her own person now? Which is wild to even say.
It said that he is no longer over her person. There was another lady, I wrote her name down.
Oh, the one, the lady that got 100
not
lawyers?
Felicia. The other one, not Felicia. Oh. There was another conservator that was there for like a hot minute. And apparently they were very happy. They, meaning Brittany, was happy with her. And it was someone that was unbiased, not family related. I'll get you the name of that.
Well, in the documentary, it ends though with like, well, it doesn't end, but like they go to court, the Free Britney people are out there, you know, there's somebody in there. They're going back and forth with what's happening in there. And Jamie does not at that moment get removed, but Britney's request of that bank got added, and which I want to highlight to you guys how dark that is, that that's considered a win to have a bank involved in your personal life instead of like in addition to your father. Why did we suppose that Jamie wasn't removed at that point?
I think it's what we talked about earlier, where it's so much harder to get out of this conservatorship. It's probably easier for a judge to add a second party, second entity, than to remove the Jamie Spears.
And he said at the and the judge said, we are not removing Jamie at this time, which was a very...
They're reserving it, though. They're reserving
But that's so that kind of... is that considered kind of legalese speak of like... That is what that means, that we will keep considering this.
I believe they're, dare I say, opening the door, but they're still, you know, teeter tottering. There's no decision, but they added the bank. She's happy with the bank, which, as you say, is kind of ironic. But remember, a bank is different than a person. They have certain fiduciary duties. Now, mind you, the dad has duties too, but again, they're it's questionable whether he's you know, abiding by those. But a bank is a bank. They're licensed, they're managed, there's, you know, they're federally monitored. So when you say I would prefer to have at least a bank as a co-conservator, it's to add some level of protection for her, for an entity that owes what's called a fiduciary duty to the conservatee.
Is the only, so, you know, now we're kind of in that space of like, what is going to happen next? I read an article this week that a lady had gotten like 100 lawyers together to protest the conservatorship or something. I talked about that briefly on Monday's show. I mean, the more spotlight gets put on this, does that help things? Does it hurt things?
I think it helps things because it keeps her name, the case, in the spotlight. But I'm not going to lie to you. I don't think any judge is going to make a decision and be like, oh God, there's so many people protesting. I'm just going to switch.
Yeah.
Like, that's not reality. But it's, I mean, judges read the newspaper. Judges, you know, have, you know, ABC, CBS News. They have their, you know, Yahoo alerts. They see that stuff. They know what's going on. And you know what? It's ringing a bell. You can't unring it. People are saying Jamie Spears is not to be trusted. Britney Spears seems to be fine. A judge is going to hear that. In the end, though, Ryan, the reality is, unless there's paperwork, a motion, and something persuasive put in front of a judge, and apparently, remember, it's an uphill battle. You understand it's an uphill. It's not like we're in criminal, innocent until proven guilty. It's almost like, you know, disabled until proven able.
I mean, is this a case that eventually gets in front of the Supreme Court? I mean, like, where, I mean, does this affect conservatorships? Is part of this whole thing is that we need to change the laws of how conservatorships work? Like, what, how, I mean, like, the fact that this even happened in the first place seems wild, that there's not some kind of triggered laws 2 years in, 3 years in, 4 years in. It's just weird if this is happening here, how will this not happen to other people down the road and they can use the Britney Spears cases, you know,
precedent.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think it's very scary. And you and I joke like, oh my God, what if you have, you know, a breakdown one day, are they going to take us all away? It's,
yeah.
It seems crazy. I don't know. My concern is that because she has such little power and such little legal voice to literally even have contact with the court, how is she taking it up to the next level? You understand the Supreme Court is the highest court of the land. They don't take every case at all. And just because she's Britney Spears, they're not going to take it. They hear cases like Roe versus Wade, you know, like major monumental things that affect, you know, the world, the United States at large. But you bring up a very good point. The conservatorships need to be reviewed and analyzed to see, hey, you know, now kind of like the Diane Sawyer. Hey, is this what we really want to keep doing moving forward? Is this, you know, the level? Kind of like I said, disabled until proven abled. Why? Criminal court says innocent until proven guilty. Why is this flipped the other way?
Well, I mean, so we saw that case in the documentary where the bank got added on. Jamie did not get taken off. Right. So at that point, like, how often can you bring back a case? Like, how, like, could I go back? Well, the next week we're going to try it again. We're going to see if we can present some kind of new evidence and just keep trying it every week. Is there a waiting time once a ruling hands down? Like, you can't try it for another year now, you know?
I don't think you need to bring it every few weeks. It just kind of makes your efforts seem futile and it almost cheapens the motion when you bring it. I would suggest they show some sort of change in circumstance. Again, remember, I don't practice this kind of law, but in my world, in my practice, the way we would do it is, we would get letters, declarations from, let's say, therapists who say this is Britney before, this is Britney after. She's come a long way. Declarations. And of course, you'd really have to get testimony from these people who know her best and can speak to who she is now at this age versus Britney, you know, who was in her 20 somethings and shaved her head off one day.
And what's so scary is that we don't know even like the people that she's allowed to be around that would even be able to. I imagine the conservators see, that's what's so crazy is what we don't know. So the conservatorship might not even let her be around people that don't agree with the conservatorship, you know?
And how could she, first of all, the conservatorship runs and rules and designates which doctors, therapists, whatever, psychologists, psychiatrists, whoever she sees. They could also put the kibosh and say, you folks are not allowed to make any sort of public comment or be involved in any sort of a trial. So what if they do that? Right. And how does Britney, if she has no legal say, ask the therapist, hi, I need you to be a witness in my trial. She literally can't say anything. She's almost like infantilized. She's like a child.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's arrested development, you know?
It's well,
and we even crazy. The documentary made a point that Lynn, I believe her mother, was even not in support of saying that Jamie is a bad man, but I don't want to get in between. You know, it seems like she has fear of Jamie as well.
I have issues with the mom. It seemed throughout in the beginning, it seemed like there she was raising money for Britney to go to New York and get these classes and convincing her husband. He's definitely the boss. You can definitely tell he's the boss. Yeah. The very old fashioned relationship that I got. But if she's the mom, why doesn't she step up to the plate? Why doesn't she say something? Why doesn't she become the conservator? Why do we need Jamie?
See, there's so
hire the best lawyers, the best accountants, the best financial investment guys. I don't get it. You know, with money comes power. She can double, triple all her savings. Get the mom on board. What do we need the dad with his shady financial history and shady behavior? You don't see him hanging out with her because he seems to like her. Why would this boyfriend say he's a, you know, first Dick, class blank? Why? He doesn't come over for dinner. He doesn't hang out with them. You know, you don't hear Kevin Federline saying he's a, you know, the best grandpa that ever lived.
No, the kid, one of the sons is on record even saying that there supposedly was an incident between one of Britney's sons and Jamie Spears that Kevin Federline actually filed for custody to be taken away, which is wild when we're talking about Kevin Federline stepping up custody, you know, from the Kevin Federline that we remember. One of the last things I want to say about this.
Kids are apparently doing well, by the way.
They seem great. They're good. I mean, that's one good thing.
And they're doing well. But that also makes me wonder, how much time does she have with those kids? And is it like, you know, because, you know, there are divorces where there's a monitor, a court-appointed monitor, a supervised monitor. Does she have to see her kids with a monitor? Does she see the kids? How does it work? Who's in charge of that? Does he, because you also have to think, for sure, Kevin Federline sued her for spousal support. I mean.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
How about that? Can he, whenever he wants, go up and change?
Well, I do remember, if I'm not mistaken, is that there was a period where he had asked for an increase in spousal support, and I believe the estate fought him and won, and he did not get the increase. I could be wrong, but that is something I remember just from reading all like the crap I read every day.
Just like I showed you, like during COVID, we've had athletes who, you know, have contacted us, and we send them to family lawyers who, they're athletes. Okay, there's no more baseball like there was before. There's no more same level sports. So they're not making, let's make it a round number, like $10 million a year. They're not. So their spousal and child support has to be diminished. Same with Kevin Federline in the reverse.
Yeah.
She's doing this Vegas residency. Okay, we might think it's, you know, an asshole move, but it's legal. He can go forward and say she's making more money. Therefore, these children who are her offspring are entitled to more money, 100%. And you just said the estate fought and won.
Yeah.
There you go.
As we wrap up the Britney Spears thing, the one of the final thoughts I had, and one of the darkest, maybe really just kind of sad and kind of mind blown. And there were so many things that were mind blowing about this, was that they made a point of saying, you guys, Britney not only pays for her defense, She pays for her dad's defense. Yes. She pays for everybody involved in trying to take her rights away on top of her pain to try to get her rights back. So think about that. Think about working so hard, one in a million shot to be the success that she is. It is like a lottery to get to where she has gotten. And she has to not only pay to get her freedom back, but she has to pay people, probably the best people out there, to keep her freedom taken away. And that to me was such a mind scramble.
Exactly the same as in family law court. If she was in, let's say, family law court with Kevin Federline all over again, I bet you anything, you can go look up the records. I'm just guessing based on my knowledge. She also paid for Kevin Federline's attorneys who were going against her asking for X amount for spousal.
That just doesn't make sense. I mean, it just doesn't, but like,
family,
I mean,
and it's conservative. It's mind blowing.
But family court doesn't go like that. That seems a little weird. Like family court never was like, hey guys, this might be a bad move for us to do because it might not actually be in the best interest of the children, you know?
I'm paying for your lawyers to screw me.
Like, if you can't afford your own lawyers, maybe you shouldn't have that. I don't know. Well, now that's not right because they're priced.
That is the case in family law, just so you know. Is it outrageous? Is it crazy when you think about it? Of course it is. But that's what happens when there's one super breadwinner and there's one that's like, you know, just a regular average citizen. Yeah. You follow? Well,
yeah, I do. And this has been amazing. I don't know if you have a couple more minutes for me to ask about a different topic. And I know you don't know tons about this either, but we were talking briefly before you started. And I was talking about Tom Girardi and Erica Jane. And Erica Jane, of course, you guys know Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And that's why we talk about it. But Tom Girardi, you were saying is kind of he was legend. At the top of the mountain. Legend, you know.
Legend, definitely top of his game. His law firm is Girardi Keese. I would say it's right up there. With the top of the top, and you know how many personal injury firms there are, especially in Los Angeles, but he's top of the top. And I was told the day that all this news about misappropriation of funds came out, all of a sudden you go to his website, Girardi and Keese, it's gone.
It's gone.
I haven't checked, you know, every day since. I just checked that first day out of curiosity and it was gone. That's a firm with all sorts of lawyers and clients and what the hell happened?
And also active cases. It wasn't like they had stopped all they were actively.
Absolutely.
Because Absolutely. Tom Girardi, you guys, wasn't the only one that worked for that. I mean, they had, like you said, lawyers underneath them. But in personal, it's personal injury, right? You said?
When personal injury, accidents, catastrophic incidents, wrongful deaths, that sort of thing.
I would just imagine if you were involved in that, one of the principles is to never have a fiduciary issue at all because you're basically collecting money for victims or fighting for money that owed to victims and victims' families. So to be misappropriated in those funds seemed to be like rule number one, I would imagine, for lawyers.
It's rule number one for lawyers. And as I said, I think it's the 11th commandment, just for everyone to know. We have what is called a public, all of us, all the law firms that are doing PI, have what's called a public trust account. And this is actually safeguarded and overseen by the state bar. So for instance, let's say I get a check for a client, $1 million case. On that check, it has my company, California Legal Counsel, and it says Bob Smith. Why? Bob Smith is the guy that just got run over, for instance, by a bus. Both of our names are on there, my company name and the client's name. We sign for the company. We have the client sign for themselves. We go and we take that check. We don't put it in the personal operating checking account of our firm. We put it in the public trust account. Not $1, frankly, not one penny can be off with those accounts. I don't pay myself before every single person who's on their medical providers, the victim, everybody else is paid out. And that's how it's supposed to be. It's not my personal piggy bank. It's not Tom Girardi's personal piggy bank to buy, you know, planes, jets.
Other thing, to have such a public record of how you spend opulently cannot help. And I believe that this could probably be used against him in a future. You know, they can actually show episodes of Housewives of showing how, you know, people were flaunting their wealth, supposedly. Yeah. I mean, of course, it's TV, so we never know. But I mean, they consider it a reality show. So I would imagine that's sort of reality. But wasn't the public trust, like, didn't they say, I believe they said Tom Girardi for some reason was in charge of his own financial situation. He was in charge of putting the money in this and he was the charge. He was the only person that was able to take money in and out, which I think is just so weird that he would be the one in control of that and not have a separate person.
Honestly, the last time I saw Tom Girardi in person was the year before COVID, at a conference in San Diego for traumatic brain injury. Okay. And I say this with respect because I told you he's a legend. He's a legend. He didn't seem quite all there. That's all I'll say.
Yeah.
He seemed like he was entering the golden years of his practice, let us say. So for me to hear that he was perhaps the only name partner, or I mean, it's Jurority Keys. There's other people there on the floor. For me to hear he's the only name partner in front of the public, in the public.
It would be hard to.
I find that a little questionable, but as the name partner and the primary name partner, certainly he could have access to do whatever he wanted, ill-advised to do such a thing, but he could. Now, what with Erika Jayne and the lavish lifestyle, and I would swear she had her own personal makeup, hair, and stylist, like everywhere.
She did, yeah, Mikey, yeah.
I know for a fact, because I had a friend that was on that show, they don't provide all that. So
no, they do not, yeah.
Companies are bringing their own people. So what's going to happen to that is there are companies that are called forensic accountants. And again, they're used in embezzlement, fraud, and again, in family law, divorce cases, where there are, and now in this type of a case, they're going to analyze every single lipstick that she purchased. They're going to analyze every single Rolls Royce that Tom purchased to find out where is the paper trail leading? Where's the source of those funds? They need literally one, I don't know, blow dryer to be connected back to the law firm's public trust account. Tom Girardi's done.
Yeah.
Okay. You can be the biggest legend, but you're done. I don't believe he's going to be practicing anymore. I think his firm is going to take a supreme hit. And I think it's a shame. They definitely have wonderful attorneys there. It's too bad. But the firm's credibility, it was Tom Girardi. He was the guy that was speaking. Why did I see him at that seminar with thousands upon thousands of PI attorneys? He's the guy. He's the headliner. People are coming to see him. I'm sorry.
So it is a shocking thing for most lawyers to hear this, of like, how could this possibly happen? And they now are
in a time, Ryan. It's not the first time. If you look up, there's certainly other lawyers who have done it and who have actually fled the United States and, you know, lost their bar licenses. And you can look up anyone.
Well, that's the defense, you know, and maybe this is true, maybe it's not, but they're using the defense of like, you know, he is in the twilight of his years, and there is a possible dementia possibly happening, and a continuing medical issue that he is supposedly having. I mean, in my jaded mind, I'm like, well, he's going to use every excuse in the book not to go to jail. Like, I mean, but at the same time, it could be completely true. But I think you do lose that. You have to be skeptical when somebody starts stealing victims' money. I think it makes everything skeptical. It kind of takes away all of your credibility, you know?
I was going to say, one, please remember, attorneys are actually held to a higher level, if you will. Do you understand? A higher duty. So one, they will scrutinize him more than they would, let's say, I don't know, a chef in a restaurant. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Also, they also have to consider, why would Tom do this? Do you understand how wealthy and successful he is? He didn't need to steal any client's money. He is set with the number of settlements in the I would say definitely in the hundreds of millions of dollars that they have obtained throughout his period of being Girardi.
And still coming in. There were still things that were money that was coming in still, you know?
What? There's no need. There's no need for anyone to do such a thing, but of all the people in the world, we do not need to get a GoFundMe set up for Tom Girardi.
Well, he was taking high interest, like risky high interest loans then to make up for the money that he spent. And it seemed like it kind of caught in this vicious circle. So Sharon, how do you get hired? Like, how do you take on clients? How is that like for you?
So it depends. It depends if they're criminal and it depends if they're a personal injury. If they're criminal, obviously we do advertising. We get a lot of referrals from other attorneys that are non-criminal attorneys or non-PI attorneys. They send it to us. I'm happy to say that I get a lot of clients who send us, you know, other clients because they're happy with our services. Word of mouth really helps. Advertising really helps. But really, there's no bigger compliment than a former client sending us a new client. We literally had that happen twice today. And we actually, I make a note on every single file and we take care of everyone. Everybody is VIP. You know what? Customer service, client attention. you know, we want to be the Four Seasons. We want to be the Ritz-Carlton of law firms.
Well, you've been doing this 20 years. I imagine that says the most about you, that you can continue on successfully as you have for 20 years. So if there are people listening in California, yes, it's one of those things that they could even call you if something happens and stuff like
absolutely
that. It's, and then, but I'll put all this information on the description of the episode, and God forbid you ever need to use her. But it is interesting. I never know how these things work, of how actually, if I did have something happen to me, who do I go to? What are my rights?
And you'd want to call us first. You know, we always say we represent the injured and the accused. We don't want you as an injured person. Let's say, again, a car runs over you, a bus runs, God forbid, some sort of an incident. We don't want you guys giving statements on your own. We want your first call to be to us so we can guide you in how to proceed. Because frankly, you know, and I know, I think people have, you know, woken up. The insurance companies are not working for us. They're not. It is in their best interest to, no matter how much money you're paying them monthly and you think, okay, I'm paying my dues in case, you know, blank happens. When that happens, they're not looking to make you whole the way that we are. We're going to be confident, capable, and proactive to get you the maximum recovery. So
it is shocking. I remember being in a car accident once, and it was a very cut and dry thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, the guy even admitted he did it and stuff like that. Then, you know, I tell my insurance company, I think it's easy. And then it turns out this guy now has changed his story. It's like, no, I was kind of both of ours. And they had, like, I couldn't believe the two insurance companies were debating it and like, okay, we'll give you this and we'll give you that. And I was like, wow, this is like, is 100% guilty. It's like fascinating how the machinations of all of this behind the scenes go. I imagine it's going to be incredibly frustrating, but it seems like you're very passionate about it. So
I am. I myself was a victim in two different accidents. So I let clients know, listen, I understand where you're coming from. I get it. When an insurance adjuster says, oh, the damage to the vehicle doesn't even look that bad, I'm thinking, listen, if it looked worse, I wouldn't be walking. Okay.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be walking. Thank God that it's a good car and a solid car. I don't want it to be any worse because, you know, God forbid you could be handicapped. So my point is they're not in the business of just, you know, handing out their money. So
yeah,
we love fighting for clients. You know, we feel it's a very righteous position. There are a lot of cases that we have against the city or the county and even, you know, design defect or whatnot, you know, where a simple light would have helped someone from not getting hit or a bus stop, you know, being in a certain location, et cetera. So we fight very hard. As for the criminal defense aspect, same thing. This is complete opposite of Brittany's world. You are innocent until proven guilty. And, you know, by God, we are going to actually push hard to definitely show that you're innocent. And, you know, if you're not, you know, innocent, well, you know, we will put obstacles in their way.
Oh, my God. Okay. Sharon Gatan, you were amazing. I thought this was only going to go 30. We went an hour because it is just so fascinating. And you're so knowledgeable. You are California legal counsel. Like I said, I'm going to put all that information in the show notes. So God forbid you need to use her, but I think she's a good person if you do need to use somebody like that. So Sharon, I really appreciate it. Hopefully you'll come on sometime again when there is another legal issue, hopefully not mine, but it sounds like you are a sound mind to give very good opinions about this.
Oh my gosh. Let us all remember that the conservatorship courts are watching, and let us all behave well, because God forbid we become like poor Brittany. So definitely, Ryan, thank you so much for having me. It's been such a great pleasure and honor. I'm happy to help you anytime.
Free Brittany, you guys.
Woo! Hashtag free Brittany.
Thank you to our sponsor, Hulu. Their new reality series, Vanderpump Villa, is an unfiltered portrait of what it is like to work in the glamorous French countryside while striving to impress Lisa Vanderpump. As guests arrive for their lavish vacation, the Vanderpump Villa staff are pushed to their limits, ready to cater to every whim, all the while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu.
Betches.